Go with me, if you would, back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, I pray that our God will make this to be a blessing. Let's read from verse 25 to verse 30. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. What I want us to enter into tonight is the great care that we received from the Lord Jesus Christ in being members of his body. The great care that we have received by being members of his body. I want us to enter into the fact that the suffering that he endured spared us from the suffering we would have had to endure. And he accomplished that by us being vitally joined together with him. Members of his bones, as the end of verse 30 words it. God's people have been pictured that way since there have been people on this earth. All the way back to Adam and Eve, the union of God's people with Christ has been pictured in being bone of his bones. That's what has been stated concerning God's people. That's the picture. Bone of his bones. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, this is a picture of Christ and his bride. And it says in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He said, she is bone of my bones. That's how joined together with me she is. Bone of my bones. And what a glorious picture that is. Because in being bone of his bones, for him to love her is for him to love himself. For him to love her is for him to love his own self. It's the same thing. It's the same great love. We all can enter into what it is to love ourselves, can't we? We can enter into that. And it's the same love that Christ has for His church. The same way that a man loves himself, that's the love he has for her. That's what Ephesians 5 just told us. It said, Christ loved His own bride as He loved Himself. It said, no man hates himself, but nourishes himself and cherishes himself. And it said, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for His bride. He loved her and nourished her and cherished her. Why? Because she was bone of His bones. That picture started with Adam and Eve, and it was carried all throughout the Scripture. With this distinction about it, okay? That picture, bone of His bones, it's carried all throughout the Scripture. With this glorious particular distinction about it. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, this is where verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. Verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This is a picture of Christ, the Lamb of God, the substitute sacrifice for the sins of God's people. God pictured here, He will die in your place. When I see that blood has already been here, I'll be satisfied. And I'll pass over you. And as a picture of this, He said, you will slay this lamb. Your sins will be the reason for this lamb's death. And you will slay this lamb. And you will divide this lamb. And you will roast this lamb. But He said, make sure of this one thing. Make sure of this one thing. All of that will happen with the distinction of this one thing. Look at verse 46. He said, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. Don't do it. He said, in this sacrifice, make sure you don't break one bone. Numbers chapter 9 says the same thing. Turn a couple of books over to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9, verse 11, it says, "The 14th day of the second month, at even they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it." He said, don't leave any of it and don't break one bone. That was the prophecy of all the Old Testament concerning the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 19, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Now watch verse 20. "He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken." He keepeth all his bones. Not one is broken. Look at Psalm 35, verse 10. It says, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Who is like unto thee?" That was the prophecy concerning what Christ would accomplish on the cross of Calvary for his people. Now here's the question. Did he accomplish it? That was the prophecy all through the Old Testament. Did he accomplish it? That's the question. Let's find out. Follow me through a few scriptures here. I know you've been following me, but now let's find out if he accomplished this. Look at Psalm 22. This is our Lord on the cross. Psalm 22, verse 1, he cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Verse 16, he said, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me." I can tell all my bones that my enemies are looking on me as I suffer before them. And all my bones are looking upon me. All of my bones are staring upon me, seeing that they pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet. Turn to Isaiah 50. The heading at the top of my page says, Christ's patient suffering. This is Christ's suffering, and this is Christ speaking. Isaiah 50, verse 5. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear." He said, "My Father said to me," this is the work I want you to do. This is the work I'm giving you to do, to stand in the place of suffering for our people. Verse 5, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." He said, "I delighted to do His will." So verse 6, he said, "I gave my back to the smiters." I gave my back to the smiters. We hear that and we think of Him being struck over the back with a rod or a whip or the different torture devices that they had back then. And that sounds bad. That sounds very bad. But I did a little historical research on what the practice of the Romans was in doing that. And you can do that too sometime if you want to. It was so gruesome, I don't want to tell you what it was. It was so gruesome, I was reading it and it made me literally sick at my stomach. They said it looked like a plowed farmer's field. Talking about a man's black back. Looked like a plowed farmer's field when they were done. They went into just great detail describing it. After reading what I read, when they say that most people did not survive that beating to make it to the cross, that when you'd hear about them scourging, this was the beating that they gave, and it says most people never made it past that beating to even get to the cross. And after reading what I read, I don't see how they could. I honestly don't. It was awful. It was so awful. Verse 6, he said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. That just means just ripping it out. He went on to say, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. What does it do to you inside to think of them taking turns? Whole bands, whole armies of soldiers taking turns, spitting in the face of our God, our Lord and our Savior. That just crushed me. I got to really thinking about this and it just crushed me. Look at Isaiah 52, verse 14. It says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Everyone who looked at him as he hung on that cross was astonished. And I went back and forth on whether or not I was going to tell you this because I have no proof of this. You can take this with a grain of salt, okay? I was reading historical accounts. As you read John Gill, he quotes a man named Josephus a lot. And he was not a religious man at all, but he was a historian who wrote historical records from that day. Just recorded accounts. And I read that someone read a historical account. I didn't see it. But apparently it is in the ancient writings recorded that when they brought Mary to those three crosses, she looked up and said, which one is he? I don't know if that's true or not. But based on everything that this is saying, that wouldn't surprise me at all. He was so marred. He was so... No living human being has ever been more mangled and disfigured than he was. I just can't imagine how difficult it was to even look on him. He was unrecognizable. And here's the thing about it. That's just what God allowed men to do to him. That's only what men did to him. It can't be described what God did to him. That's what he let man do in his wrath. We could never fathom what God did in his wrath. This physical illustration is a depiction of a spiritual illustration of God angrily dealing with our sin. It's indescribable. It's absolutely what happened to this man. Come see a man. What happened to this man is indescribable. It's indescribable. Turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. Pilate released Barabbas. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited, that means made, twisted, formed, a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And they didn't just set it there. They pressed those thorns into his head. And a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. They took that rod and then the next soldier would grab it. Can you imagine? Mark's account words it this way. Look at Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 63, it says, "Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, 'What need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?' And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, they blindfolded him. They began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him." That word buffet means to violently strike with the fist. "And to say unto him, 'Prophesy. Tell us which one hit you.' And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands." That's what the high priest and the religious Sanhedrin did to him. That's what the religious folks did to him. Then, chapter 15 says, Pilate released Barabbas, chapter 15, verse 15, and turned the Lord over to the soldiers to beat him. The religious folks beat him. And then, chapter 15, verse 15, so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed. And did spit upon him, and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Now turn to John 19. Verse 1 says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him with their hands." Verse 16 says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." Verse 28 says, After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. He gave his back to be mutilated. He gave his head to be stabbed. He gave his head to be beaten. He gave his head to be ripped apart and spit in. He gave his hands and his feet to be punctured. He gave his side to be pierced. But he said, You will not touch one of my bones. You're not touching my bone. You can have everything else, but you're not touching my bones. And they didn't. In the destruction of himself, he kept all of his bones. None of them were broken. Not one was broken. Now going back to the beginning of this, who were his bones? Every chosen recipient of the love of God, every soul that the Father placed in and joined to Christ, every soul that God the Father made to be bone of his bones. How can I know if I'm one of them? I will see his brokenness as being my unbrokenness. I will see his destruction as being what spared me from all destruction. I will see his suffering as being the very thing that kept me safe. His receiving of wrath being my receiving of peace. That's what it is to discern the Lord's body. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us not to observe this table unless we have been given the ability to discern the Lord's body. Well, that's what it is to discern the Lord's body. It's to see Him suffering at all being the very thing that kept me from suffering at all. I was spared in Him. I was spared in Him. Because I was made to be bone of His bones, I wasn't broken. What's your hope? It's this right here. Because the Father made me to be bone of His bones, I wasn't broken. If God has revealed that to us, then let's give Him thanks for that by remembering Him and everything He bore for us and everything He suffered for us in observing this table. This is what we're doing. We're remembering what He went through for us, and we're giving Him thanks for it. So let's do that together. I've asked two men to come read from Psalm 40. And while they read, let's realize that these are the words of our Lord from the cross. Okay? Brother Obi, you come.